This podcast replay is brought to you by Canesware.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Canesware.com at Miami Fanware. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Ride a ride a ride.
How you doing, baby?
Doing great, brother. How are you?
Very good. Very good. You know, I was... one of the themes of the show today, and you've been a beat guy on the Heat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 3 years.
I know. And you got to know a lot of people in that organization. You've known a lot of those people in that organization for a long time. And so, you know, one of the things that I hate to say it, but karma bit Jimmy Butler in the ass, you know? Quieres ser un descarado, and you want to kind of coast the entire regular season, not put in anything to it. And you've done it 2 years in a row where, because you did that, you're in a play-in. If you actually gave a shit about the regular season, you would be a much higher seed. You would be relaxing like the Celtics and the Pacers and the Knicks are. Instead, you played a play-in game and you got yourself injured. And what I know they got away with it last year, and they tried to decaro again this year to try to do it again and get away with it, and they got burned.
Yeah.
So my point is, the weirdest thing is you have been on a lot of these beats, and we've seen Panther dysfunction. We've seen Canes dysfunction. We've seen Dolphins dysfunction. The Marlins are constantly dysfunctional. Inter Miami started off incredibly dysfunctional. Okay, but kind of still dysfunctional, by the way. They just spend a lot of money. So overall, but yeah, in 25 plus years, when Riley took over, have you ever seen dysfunction?
No.
And so you've been around these people for 3 years longer, in other words, because you've popped in and out over the years and all that other stuff. Do you know anybody in that organization that takes 6 minutes off, much less 6 months off?
Yeah, it doesn't happen often in that organization at all. Really,
you won't work in that organization if you take 6 minutes off, bro. Everybody in that organization is top notch.
Yeah.
The only guy that takes it off is that guy.
Yeah, but that's ultimately Pat Riley and the bed that he made for himself when he said he wanted Jimmy Butler. You get the good and you get the bad. You get the playoff Jimmy who takes you to two NBA finals, can't win you a championship because he doesn't have enough around him. But you know, and then you get the other side of Jimmy where you play with fire and you get burned, which is what happened to them this season, you know? And I just think, look, man, how old is he now? 34, 30,
he's somewhere in there. He's done more than
his body is just not what it used to be. And when you play that many minutes, you play for Tom Thibodeau before you even come to Miami and you get run to the ground the way that he did. It's practice minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cause a lot of people, they go and time how much he's played in game minutes. Well, it's not that much different than this. No. Did you play for Pat Riley? Did you play for Tom Thibodeau? Do you know what practice is like for these kind of people?
Yeah,
you know, it's not a country club. Okay, you're gonna put in work, bro, in practice. So that's where the wear and tear also comes into. You know.
Yeah, and look, man, this run that the Heat have had, like, it's gonna end unglamorously this year, but it's been glamorous, right? It's been super glamorous. Like, enjoy what it was. And now, you know, you got to kind of start over. You got to find another guy. Jimmy is not Jimmy anymore. You have Bam, who you call the ultimate role player.
Super role player. He is. Yeah. He's a super role player, bro.
But
he's not a star. Do you call him a star, bro? Really?
No, he could be an all-star, but he's not a superstar.
Yes. No. He's definitely an all-star.
Yeah.
He's not a franchise player. He's not a star, bro. He's not. You know, this is what I've said about Bam. You know the evolution of the caveman, and, you know, he's all scrunched up, and then eventually he's standing straight, right? And it's us.
Right.
Less hair and all that good stuff. Well, it kind of started with Grant Long, right? Then it kind of moved over to PJ Brown. Then it kind of moved over to who am I missing? Who's the next guy kind of in line? Udonis Haslem. Mm-hmm. Then it moved to Chris Bosh. Right. And now it's Bam. That's kind of right. It's the guy you need on your team. They're not all the same. Bam is better than all of those guys in different ways. Although I'd rather have UD taking a shot than Bam. That's just right. Me. I'm just me. I want UD taking the 16, 17 footer over Bam every day of the week and twice on Sundays in a key moment. That's just me because he's more clutch. But
right.
All those guys were like, you needed them on your team in those stages of your existence. They were super important to your existence and to your success, but they weren't the number one or two stars. It wasn't Shaq or Wade. And Bosh was the best three you've ever had. He's a one or two, but he took the backseat to play the three role. And there's nothing wrong with that. To me, Bam is a freaking great three. Setting the picks and doing the rebounding and all. I love him in that role. Just please don't tell me that he's a star and is going to carry you offensively. Because those guys mother F everybody and say, bro, get out of the way. I'm taking over. That's never been him. It's never been him.
I went to the NBA draft combine that year when they drafted Bam. I was up in Chicago for you know all that preseason work, and I remember everything I was hearing was, if they can get Donovan Mitchell to fall to 14, they'll get Donovan Mitchell. And Bam was a player I knew they liked, but it was one of those deals where everybody thought, well, Donovan Mitchell's probably got the higher ceiling, right? At that time, you go back to that year and you think that the Nuggets traded that pick to the Jazz. And the Jazz came up and got Donovan Mitchell. How different would things be right now if had the Heat gotten Donovan Mitchell?
Right, right. That's a star that can impose. That's what I try to tell people. Like, you know, Bam might have been a star in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Because points were a premium. You were only scoring 80, 90 points.
Right. So
that's where his game would have been incredibly, although there were bigger trees in the middle that would have given him a ton of problems, but still, I'm just saying his game, like Ben Wallace.
Yeah.
You know, because his offensive game is actually better than Ben Wallace. So he would have had a better shot in the 80s and the 90s when you were scoring 80 or 90 points to be a star. But in a game where you're scoring 120, stars are the ones that can impose their offensive will. If you can't impose your offensive will whenever the hell you want, you're not a star in this league. That's kind of the way I look at it. You know what I mean? But it's just the talking point today. I just want, like, Jimmy does what no one has ever done under Pat Riley in 25 plus years. No one, bro. Yeah. No one.
You're right. No. You're right. And I think people just, again, just respect what Jimmy did. He took him to two finals, really, with two teams that shouldn't have been there. To be in all honesty, well,
they shouldn't have been in the three Eastern Conference finals.
Think about it. Jason Tatum, you know, everybody's talking about him and what a superstar he is. I think he's taken to the Celtics, what, to the finals once, right? Yeah. And he's lost to Jimmy twice in the playoffs. I mean,
right. No, they've overachieved. The run with Jimmy was phenomenal. The failure was that they didn't get the other star. Mm-hmm. That was the failure, dude. They didn't find the other star.
It's hard to do when you go out and you give all that money to Duncan Robinson and then you trade for Kyle Lowry. They made mistakes.
That's the one that really killed them.
They made mistakes, but listen, that was partly Jimmy wanted Kyle Lowry here,
right? But now we realize why he wanted Kyle Lowry, because he's the only one that can guard him.
That's right.
So he and I got sign Kyle.
Get him off my ass.
No, let's bring Kyle. No, he's he's good, he can do it. I don't have to deal with that pain in the ass. Because it's like Kyle wanted him the entire time. Every time he was just like, no, I want him, you know. And Jimmy didn't play as well with Kyle. So, you know, now we kind of see it. All right, so what's going on in Kane's land?
Well, they're busy in the transfer portal, you know. They went this week on Wednesday, met with Damian Martinez, the running back out of Oregon State. He is priority number one for them, I think, as far as offensive players and offensive targets. They want to get Cam Ward a legit number one running back who's healthy, not coming off of surgery like Mark Fletcher and some of these other guys, AJ Allen, are. So you know, I think Miami's sitting pretty good in this situation. Martinez has already been to Arizona. I think he's going to Kentucky and Mississippi State as well. I think Miami is the team to beat. So his last visit will be to Miami, is my understanding, and hopefully they end up getting him. Couple of other guys that they're after. Sam Brown, former receiver at Houston, who entered the portal. He's a guy who played for Shannon Dawson over at Houston, 6'2", 195. Again, if you can add another weapon at the receiver room, you don't have to count on one of the freshmen like JoJo Trader or Nykar to have to step in case there's injuries. They're just looking to add depth. I think Sam Houston's a solid guy. And then there's a couple guys on defense, two at cornerback in particular, Deonte Hill from Marshall, who played for Trevis Jackson. A lot of this is familiarity. Oh, you know, one thing I think, you know, we think about the NFL, right, and player movement and free agency. Coaches like having guys they know they can trust in their locker room. They prioritize that. So, you know, I mentioned Sam Brown from Houston. I mentioned Deonte Hill from Marshall. Well, gee, why? Because the coordinators had those guys before. They recruited them. They had them in their building, and they can trust them.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for depth and not a true number one guy, that's what you want. You want a guy you can trust in your system that you know is going to get the job done. So I think Brown and Hill are probably two guys that, because of their relationships with Miami's coaching staff, Miami's well positioned to get them as depth pieces and guys that can help improve the room overall. So, you know, there's some other guys, defensive tackles, some other cornerbacks. It's not superstar laden. Like, everybody who's thinking like, man, there's, you know, Miami's going to come out with four, you know, all ACC first team players in the portal. That's not going to happen. I think the only one that's really a star is Damian Martinez. And if they can get him, which again, I think that's what's going to happen, that immediately upgrades the running back room.
All right. Good stuff. Now, a subject I've been dying to talk to you about, since it came up here the last couple of days, and you and I do this all the time on the show. We warn people all the time about this.
Yes.
Walk the idiots off the ledge. These grown-ass men that get excited about some silly-ass high school players signing. So in the last couple of days, Cormani McClain, after all the fanfare, folded his tent and left Colorado. And now we got Jaden Rashada.
Yep.
Another guy with all the fanfare now leaving Arizona State. And this is why getting excited about kiddies getting recruited who don't know what color they like or what food they want to try this week or whatever, they can't make up their minds. And if they don't get what they want, they're out of here. This is the reason why you don't get excited about anybody until they actually start playing for you.
1,000%. Oh, and you know what's funny? I've been doing this project for The Athletic called the All-State Teams, and we're basically looking at the biggest hits to come out of every single state, okay? And I'm sitting there, and I'm going through all of these, you know, guys that turn into All-Americans, consensus All-Americans, and I'm reading about their recruitment, like what happened in their recruiting. I would say 90 to 95% of those guys didn't dick around with their recruitment. They committed early and they stayed with their team.
What Larinaga says.
Right. Like, there was no, hey, I need all this drama. I need to make a big showcase of my announcement. Hey, my mom's taking my paper and running away with it and not letting me sign. Like, none of that stuff. Very few instances where decisions were very dramatic. It's guys who know what they wanted to do. They were focused on, hey, I want to make it to the pros. I got to use this university to help me get there. And so it's amazing. I mean, that's one of the biggest takeaways I've had as I've been doing this project, that so many of the guys were committed for a year or 6 months or 8 months before they signed, and they just stuck with the school and they knew what they wanted to do and they knew the coach that. So all of these guys, the Jaden Rashadas, the Cormani McClains, when you follow these recruitments, and it's great for all the recruiting websites, this is awesome. Everybody wants to read about these guys because they have a 5 or a 4 star next to their name, right? So people are like, wow, this guy's going to be great. He's going to be awesome. Man, the kids ultimately that thrive in college, the can't miss kids, are the ones that just know where they're going. Oh, and they know what they want. And I think that's the lesson to be learned here.
And quite frankly, you know, this has nothing to do with football. This is a completely other sport and another sex.
Yep.
When I look at the Cavender twins, You know, I get it. Lovely girls, fantastic marketing, awesome. I saw two girls that went to wrestling and said, oh shit, this is like, you mean I don't stand around and look pretty? You mean I got to work and throw my body around? And oh my, I'm going to be all bruised up and I'm going to take hits and I'm going to trash my, no, I'm out of here.
Yep.
Katie Meyer, oh God, you're too tough. Oh, Katie Meyer's gone. Hey, let's go back. The party's on.
Yeah, let's go back and party on South Beach. Yeah, listen, man.
I swear to God, that's what the Cavender twins have just shown me in the last year and a half, that they are just, you know, two pretty girls that market themselves, because when they gave up on, when they said they were going to wrestling. See, the problem is, look, I'm not a wrestling fan, but I'm not a wrestling dummy. I'm not the guy that doesn't like wrestling and says, that's all bullshit. No,
tremendous amount of work, dude.
Those people are super athletes, bro.
Oh, yeah.
They put their asses off. They're Cirque du Soleil, and they're not, and they land. That's the difference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cirque du Soleil stays up, and they keep it, and they break their falls, and all. These people aren't breaking falls. These people are landing on the ground.
Hey, all these people, they're 200 pounds plus, brother. There's bones to be broken, muscles to be torn, so they have to take it serious.
That shit is real, bro.
Yeah, okay, man.
It's choreographed, but bro, they put their bodies through hell.
They're stuntmen, essentially, and is what they are, and stunt women.
Stunt men and women. And to me, the Cavender twins folded like a cheap tent there. They folded like a cheap tent with Katie Meyer. And now that Katie Meyer's gone, I don't know this new coach, but somehow or another, they probably think it's going to be all a sunny day. And so now they're, you know, they're all coming back. To me, the Cavender twins just look like a bunch of softies, just like Jaden Rashada, just like Cormani McClain. If I think Mario was recruiting Cormani McClain, correct?
Yeah, he wanted him because DeMarcus Van Dyke, who was the cornerbacks coach at the time, had a great relationship with him, and they thought, we're going to get him. We're going to, you know, kind of mold him into what we want him to be. But obviously DVD left, and that was it.
And let me tell you, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I don't care if you need corners or whatever. Go get somebody else. He's already – now his character for me is already in question, because I don't know much about Arizona State. But I kind of I like what Deion is doing, and I love his old school style. So to me, that I already can tell he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle somebody that was going to be honest with him, because that's what Deion's going to do. He's going to be brutally honest with you about where you stand. And by the way, you're playing his position.
Oh yeah. Oh, shit. Listen. Oh, people don't realize this. And the one thing I say about Deion, and they're like, he's cutting so many people. Deion doesn't recruit like everybody else does. He doesn't go and actually do this in-depth homework on all. He doesn't get to know the people. Like he doesn't go and visit the high schools. Like he makes all these, you know, his assessments essentially off of film and whatever it is when those kids come to visit. So you're gonna have more misses in terms of personality when that's the only thing you know. When you don't go to somebody's hometown and really recruit them, and get to know the people around them. And so that's why I think for all the criticism Mario gets, he actually does his homework on a lot of guys. When it doesn't work out, it's usually because the kid gets injured or because they don't have it. They don't have what it takes. Man. You know, but listen, there's a lot of attrition in college football. There's a lot of guys now. You go through the list, the amount of recruiting classes, go back and count. You know, you sign 25 guys in a class. You probably really hit on 7 or 8, and that's it. And the rest of them are guys that don't really ever pan out.
Right.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. All right, what do you got going on in the athletics so folks can check you out, my friend?
Yes. Well, we had a lot of stories. I went to the Elite 11 camp last weekend. I covered all these quarterbacks, wrote about all these quarterbacks in the state that are top quarterbacks. If you want to read about those guys, 2026 guys, some of them that Miami is after, including Noah Grubbs and Brady Hard and these guys that are top 10 quarterbacks in the 26 class that are going to make decisions early, you can read about that. You can go read about Carter Smith, who's going to Michigan, a kid out of South Fort Myers. He's going to go play quarterback for them. And you can read about, man, there's so much stuff on the transfer portal. My colleagues, I mean, we're like all, we have this transfer portal blog. We're all over all that stuff. So everything that's going on with the portal, we're on top of. And I have my new podcast, the Wide Ride podcast that I recorded a couple of days ago with Carlos Ledo, where we talked about spring football. We talked about the transfer portal guys Miami was going after. So if you want more Kane stuff, you can go check that out.
There you go. and follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. Manny, have a great weekend, my brother. We'll talk on Tuesday.
All right, man. Take care. I'll see you.
Thank you, sir. Remember, caneswear.com. You buy over $99, you will get free shipping. They got anything and everything with the Canes logo on it, pretty much. And again, Dolphins, Marlins, Panthers, Heat, Inter Miami. You want to get a messy jersey, you can get it there. And use our code so you can get 10% off. Big O10. Caneswear.com.